If you'll turn to the book of Joshua, we're going to be in chapter 23 of the book of Joshua. I'm going to try to deal with a subject that this whole book deals with, and that being an incomplete victory. An incomplete victory. Maybe there's better words to say that. A failure to finish, or some other way to say it, but I'm going to try to deal with that subject of not getting complete victory and of failing to follow through and to finish. And we're in Joshua chapter 23. Now I'm going to read the first 13 verses. That's a fairly substantial portion of the scripture. If you're unable to stand that long, we do understand that, but if you're able to and if you're willing, we would give you opportunity here to rise for the reading of the Word of God. And we'll read the first 13 verses of chapter 23 of the book of Joshua. And the Bible here reads as follows. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And you've seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that has fought for you. Behold, I've divided unto you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan and from all the nations which I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom from the right hand or to the left, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. Now especially these next three verses. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Else, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And Lord, this morning, I pray you, Lord, help me as I seek to preach this, Lord, that you've bothered me with and laid upon me, this that you've not left off my mind. I pray you, Lord, help me that I be able to preach in clarity this, Lord, that I have this morning to lay out before your children. I ask you, Lord, help us to hear, and Lord, help us to hear and obey. I ask you, Lord, to let this lodge in our hearts and stay there. I ask you, Lord, to help us meditate upon this all the day and all the week, Lord. Lord, until we have this, Lord, in our hearts where it need be. I pray you this, Lord, seeking, Lord, the touch of your Spirit, Lord, as we preach. And I ask you, Lord, to work your will in every heart that's in this sanctuary this morning. And I ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I will preach to you again this morning of a compromised or an incomplete victory. And that's what this whole book is about. Throughout this book, as Joshua took the children of Israel into the promised land, if you ever read how much of the land God said that He promised unto Israel, from what I understand, they say at the very height of all the land they ever conquered, and it was under, I think it peaked out under Solomon, they said at the very height they only inherited 1/10 of the land that God promised. They continually compromised their victory. They continually fell short. In this book, at their great victory at Jericho, While they were having that great victory right there, Achan went out and stole Babylonia's garment and some wedges of gold and planted them under his tent. And so he compromised that victory. And at the very next battle in Ai, the children of Israel were whipped. And they had to straighten out that sin that was in the camp before they could go any further. And we find that not long after that, as they went through, there's a section there that I was going to preach from about the same subject, where that Joshua met the children of a city called Gibeah, and they fooled him because that Joshua and the men that were with him had not sought to pray before the Lord God before they made a deal with him. And they compromised their victory. And all throughout this, we find that all the land that was given to the different tribes of Israel, there's many of the tribes of Israel who went out and they fought, but yet they couldn't conquer them in the valleys, or they couldn't conquer them in the forest, or they couldn't conquer them in the mountains, or they couldn't conquer them that had iron chariots. For some reason or another, they just couldn't win everything that God set before them to win. Now I'd ask you, have you got all the victory that you know that God said that you were going to have? Because I believe that this children of Israel is given us for a picture of our own selves. And you and I in our own lives have battles that we've been set forth to fight that we've not completely won. I see incomplete victory all around me. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about in my life things that I failed to either finish off on, or when I've had victory, things that I've went back on and allowed back into my life. Now, is anybody with me today? Well, this is what I tell you, we treat it lightly, and I believe I'm guilty of this, of failing to treat this thing seriously enough. But it's serious. I mean, the Lord told Joshua, and Joshua told the children of Israel this, and again, that's why I say verses 11 through 13 especially. He told them that if you do it anywise, go back. If in any way you go back on what you promised me, if in any way you quit obeying that you started obeying, if you backslide one step, by the way, if you take one step backwards, you backslid. One step. That's what he told him. He said, if you go back at all, he said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. He says, first off, he says, you're going to compromise yourself just by stepping backwards. If you told me that you was going to quit something, If you told me that you said it and you set it forth that you were going to clean your mouth out and you wasn't going to use that language anymore, and that you wasn't going to be guilty of gathering around with all the boys at work or all the women at work and swapping all of them dirty jokes, and you're going to stay away from that, and you do that for about a year or two or even five, and then next thing you know you find yourself around a water cooler with a different group and you're right back in the same habits. Do you hear me? He said, if you do that, you've compromised yourself and your own testimony. That's the first thing. But then next, look what he says. He says, your children are going next. He said, if you in any wise do go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, you know these ungodly nations represent everything that has to be driven out of our lives. Even these that shall remain among you and shall make marriages with them. He said, if you go back, your future's going to get compromised. Your children's going to get compromised. And I tell you, this is why this is such a dangerous thing. If a man be saved and if a woman be saved and they raise their children in a Christian household, I don't know how many times you've seen it. I've seen it I don't know how many times. And I guess you have too. And raise their children in a Christian household, and then sometime about as their children grow up, they go back on the things that they've held. They go back on the things that they've believed. And a little bit slip here and a little bit slip there. And the next thing you know, they have children that grow into be teenagers and young adults, and they don't believe anything their mother and father taught them. Because if they had really believed what they said they believed, they'd have stuck with it. And the fact that they went back on what they said they believed causes their children to believe that they never believed all that stuff they said they believed. So if you go back, not only do you compromise yourself, but you're going to compromise your children. Your children, that's what it said, make marriages. Permanent joinings. Your children will be permanently joined to those things that I told you to drive out of your life. That's why a Christian who calls himself a social drinker usually ends up raising a house full of drunks. That's right. He might get away with it or seem to get away with it, but it'll show up in his children. Now, I use that for one example. But it goes on to many, many other things. Because these nations represented all the sins and all the things that were to drive out of our lives. Said, so you'll compromise yourself and you'll compromise your children. Then look what happens. By the time it's over with, he said, God will quit driving them out. He said, you can't have the victories you need to have because you failed on the ones I already gave you. He said, if you'll go back and compromise that you've already done, I'll quit fighting for you. How many of y'all need a little help from God? Look, if we're going to continue to have help from God, we've got to keep clean the things that we've already got cleaned out. Whatever it is in our life that the Lord has helped us clean before, we've got to keep that clean before He'll help us do anything else. Now, I need His help. I need it enough to where this is important to me. I can't afford to lose the help of God in the battles I've got. So then I must go back and clean out all the things that I've cleaned out before. I've got to go back and keep them clean. I don't know. Y'all looking at me and I'm not sure if I'm preaching to you. Maybe I'm just preaching to me this morning. But there's a danger in compromising the victories you've already won. There's a danger in allowing little things to stay. See, it ain't like school where you score 70% and they say, all right, now you scored enough. We can move on to the next subject. The Lord says, no, it's not 100% yet. No, yeah, that's right. The Lord gives tests and He wants 100%. Wants 100%. If you score 70%, He'll just give you the test again. If they'd done that to me, I'd still be in the third grade. But the Lord does that, and that might be why spiritually I'm still not all that advanced. It's because the Lord gives tests until you pass them all the way. If you look at this thing, though, the danger of it, not only are these things snares and traps. In other words, if you fail to clean out what I told you to clean out, what you said you was going to clean out, if you failed in that area of your life, that area of your life will be a snare and a trap to you. Then he says, not only will it be scourges in your sides, it says thorns in your eyes. Can you imagine thorns? What do thorns in your eyes do? They'll blind you. You'll be blinded. I'll quit fighting for you and you won't even see to know. Won't even see to know. Why do we see such a nation full of carnal Christians? Because they've had thorns in their eyes. Thorns are curses, people. Always are in the Bible. The curses have blinded, the curses of this earth, the things of this earth have blinded the eyes. Why? Because of failure to keep that which was already won. A failure to keep the victories that were already given. A failure. I tell you that we have to first off guard against a compromise with sin. And I'll give you a few examples from my own life. You know who I've told you who I was before I was saved? The very fact of who I was the reason I have to put distances between myself and that wicked way of living. To the point, not only can I not have a bottle of alcohol in my house, I can't have it on a shirt that I wear. I can't work for a company that sells it. Do you hear me? You know, I've told you this before, how that after I was saved, the Lord started separating me away from all the stuff in Hollywood. And everything on TV got me aggravated until finally all I could do was watch sports. And then as I was watching sports, I started watching and seeing all the half-naked cheerleaders and all the tens of thousands of drunks in the stands, and the beer commercial would come on. Not only was the Lord working on me about separating away from Hollywood, but He was telling me why I had to separate myself away from the wickedness and ungodliness of this world's entertainment. You say you don't find that in the Bible. I find it in my heart and what the Holy Ghost troubled me with. And there's a reason why I wouldn't. Look, if a Christian missionary came to me from the Philippines and I wanted to take him somewhere in order to sit and talk with him and have fellowship with him, do you think I'd take him down there to the ball game where they're drinking beer and cussing and all the people are half naked and they're playing all kinds of ungodly music? How would that work? So why should I take myself there? Or my children there? Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about finishing the victory. If you're going to separate yourself from the sin, separate yourself from all of it. Separate yourself from all the appearance. It says, matter of fact, it says, shun the appearance of evil. That means whenever it pops its head up. I'm talking about completing the victory. I'm talking about not being satisfied with a partial victory. Does anybody care? We have to be completely victorious over the sins we've been delivered from. Completely, to the point that we don't even desire them anymore. I used to smoke and chew tobacco. But you know now when a man breaks out cotton bowl twist and cuts off the plug and chews it, I don't even desire it anymore. Why is that? The Lord helped me completely separate myself from that. You've got to have complete victory. We cannot backslide or compromise with the sin in our life. And the second thing, we can't compromise with the standards we've already promised God. It says in the Scriptures, it's better not to make a vow than it is to make it and break it. There was a woman in a church that I went to as a child who had, for whatever reasons, in seeking after God, determined that she was going to put away her jewelry. Now look at me here and tell me that was silly if you want to. It don't matter. She made the promise to God. It doesn't matter if you would or not. She made that promise. As the years went by, a few years later, she went back and she would wear one piece and another piece. And by the time she died, she was one of those people who had costume jewelry all over her, all over the place. And it was just consumed with it. Why? Because if you make a promise to God, regardless of whether somebody else tells you you needed to or didn't need to, it don't matter. Once you've made a promise, you got to hold it. Once you promise something to God, I don't care if you promised Him you wouldn't wear a red shirt. It don't matter if it's something somebody else has a problem with or not. If you've made a vow to God to hold a standard, you got to hold that standard. If you back off on that standard after promising it to God, it will cost you the future victories that you need in your life. And that's what this is telling us here. And yet it's one of the more common things I see in a church. It's to take two steps forward and one step back. You can't go another two steps forward until you get that step back. Whatever we set before God that we will do, we must do and must keep. I say this to encourage you, because I know some of you have made some steps and some promises and put some things before God that you would do, that you wouldn't do. And I say this to encourage you, hold to those things. Don't ever go back on them, ever in your life. You can't make a partial promise to God. You don't make a 5-year plan with God. Whatever you promise to Him, that you have to hold. Your whole future depends on it. Your whole walk with Him depends on it. The third thing I would tell you, because I'm not trying to keep you long on this thing, is whatever victories you've had in your own self. Now, I'm not just talking about the sins that we've put aside. And I'm not just talking about the standards that we have to hold. I'm talking about the victories in ourself. Hear me, how many of you have had a problem somewhere with your own personality, your own being, your anger, your envy, your jealousy, your lust? That victory has to be held, whatever it is, whatever it was. It has to be dealt with all the way. Now, here's where it gets hard. It's one thing to tell you, all right, y'all, you can't drink and chew tobacco. It's another thing to tell you, you can't act in anger. It's another thing to tell you, you can't pitch a fit. That's right. If you've been given victory over an area in your life, you've got to hold that area, and that area has to remain clean to have any future victories. And I'm not saying this to browbeat you. I'm saying this to try to encourage you to hold to those things where you've gotten victories in your life. I've told you many times that the Lord helped me to see that I had an anger problem and a temper problem. And when it pops back up, I have to recognize that me. I have to recognize that as a failure on my part. And I have to address that failure before I'll get any more help from God. And so it is with you. Because Joshua here was speaking to all the children of Israel, and I give this to you, because those children of Israel given to us for a type to learn from, they never attained what God promised them. But yet God has promises for us. And I would that we attain to those promises that God's promised us. I would like for you all to walk in here saying one at a time or all at a time, Everybody, God answered a prayer. I've got one more of my children in. One more grandchild was saved today. I'd like for you to hear that. I'd like for you to have those victories. I'd like for you to come in and say, listen, this problem I've had for years in my body, God's healed me of that. I'd like for you to come in and say, hey, I don't have this financial problem that I've had for all these years. God straightened all that out. I would love for us to come in here and continually have a string of testimonies of victories that God's given us in our life. But this is a stopping point. And if we're going to have those victories, we have to maintain these victories. Whatever God's helped you in before in your life, if it's been just laziness, anybody ever had a problem with that? Anybody ever had a problem with just plain old didn't care about folks if they were lost? Well, just let them go on to hell. Boy, that sure is a sorry attitude to have. Anybody ever had it? If God's ever pricked your conscience and told you you need to have compassion for them, you got to maintain that compassion. It's not a one-time thing. If God's ever got on to you about not being diligent about reading your Bible, hello, then that has to be maintained. Wherever He's given you victory before, you have to keep that one if you're going to get a further one. And it's been on my heart for the last few days. And I've not known how I was going to preach it, and still don't really know how I did or if I did. But I'm trying to get to you that you've got a lot of promises of victory before you. But if you're going to have them, if you're going to have that land completely possessed that God has promised you, if you're going to have everything that God wants you to have, you got to keep what He's already given you. And you can't go back. You can't leave things half done. You can't leave things undone. Whatever He's given you, whatever parcel or piece of the land He's given you, that must be completely possessed. And then He'll give you more. Then He'll give you more. Well, I've given you everything the Lord gave me to give you. So it's time for me to end. I'll just ask Brother Craig if you'll come up. If you've got a song, we'll close out in song. If you've got anything you'd like to put before the Lord, the altars are yours. And you're free to use them. If you'd like to dwell on it, meditate on it, I encourage you to do so. But whatever we do, let us do it with the Lord in mind. Brother Craig.